ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट नंबर 5। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज प्रह्लाद द सेंटली सन ऑफ हिरण्यकश्यपु। श्री प्रह्लाद उवाच तत्साधु मन्ने सुरवर्य देहिना सदा समुद्विग्न धियामसद्ग्रहा हित्वात्मपातं ग्रहमन्धकूपा मनं गतो यद्हरिमाश्रयेत। श्री ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। Prahlad Maharaj replied, O best of the Asuras, king of the demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Hiranyakashipu thought that Prahlad, being nothing but a small boy with no actual experience, might reply with something pleasing, but nothing practical. Prahlad Maharaj, however, being an exalted devotee, had acquired all the qualities of education. Yashasti bhaktir bhagavat akinchana sarvair gunaistatra samasate suraha राव अभक्तस्य कुतो महद्गुणा मनोरतेना सति धावतो बहि। One has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna consistently manifest all good qualities of Krishna and the demigods. However, he who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no good qualification because he is engaged by mental concoction in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord. So-called educated philosophers and scientists who are simply on the mental platform cannot distinguish between what is actually sat, eternal, and what is asat, temporary. The Vedic injunction is asat, asatoma, jyotirgama. Everyone should give up the platform of temporary existence and approach the eternal platform. The soul is eternal, and topics concerning the eternal soul are actually knowledge. Elsewhere it is said, apashyatam atmatattvam graheshu grahamedinam. Those who are attached to the bodily conception of life and who thus stick to life as a grihastha or householder on the platform of material sense enjoyment cannot see the welfare of the eternal soul. Prahlad Maharaj confirmed this by saying that if one wants success in life, he should immediately understand from the right sources what his self-interest is and how he should mold his life in spiritual consciousness. One should understand himself to be part and parcel of Krishna and thus completely take shelter of his lotus feet for the guaranteed spiritual success. Everyone in the material world is in the bodily concept of life, struggling hard for existence, life after life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore recommended that to stop this material condition of repeated birth and death, one should go to the forest. In the Varnashram system, one first becomes a brahmachari, then a grihastha, a vanaprastha, and finally a sannyasi. Going to the forest means accepting vanaprastha life, which is between grihastha life and sannyas. Confirmed in the Vishnu Puran, Varnashram acharvata purushena parha puman Vishnu arhadyate. By accepting the institution of Varna and Ashram, one can very easily elevate himself to the platform of worshipping Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, if one remains in the bodily conception, one must rot within this material world, and thus his life will be a failure. Society must have division of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. And for spiritual advancement, one must gradually develop as a Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasi. Prahlad Maharaj recommended that his father accept Vanaprastha life because the Grahastha was becoming increasingly demonic due to bodily attachment. Prahlad recommended to his father that accepting Vanaprastha life would be better than going deeper and deeper into Graham Andhakupam, the blind well of life as a Grahastha. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore invite all the elderly persons of the world to come to Vrindavan and stay there in retired life, making advancement in spiritual consciousness. Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. So today is a very auspicious occasion of Lord Narasingadev's appearance. Well, we already had the live appearance of Lord Narasingadev. So this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam brings out two culture. The culture of anxiety and the culture of satisfaction. Prahlad, as the name suggests, in one lecture Prabhupada mentions, Prahlada means Prakrishta Rupena Alhad. He is naturally happy. Therefore, whenever the introduction of Prahlad has been brought in this part of the Bhagavatam, when the teacher asked, or when the teacher were asked by Prahlad Maharaj, or when Prahlad was asked by his father, every time it is spoken that how Naisar Gikim, the teacher said, my dear Hiranyakashipu, we have not done anything to Prahlad. It is natural. So indirectly, they were glorifying Prahlad Maharaj. Because bhakti to Krishna is the constitutional nature of the living entity. Jivera Swarupuha Nityara Krishna Das. And by chanting and hearing, that is evoked. And then again, they also mention to Hiranyakashipu, Nat Mat Pranitam Na Paro Pranitam. Same thing. He said, no, we have not instructed, neither he was instructed by others. It is natural. And again, when Prahlad was asked by the demons, he said the same thing. He said, you know, just like I am controlled by Lord Vishnu, wherever he makes me move, I move. And the greatness of Prahlad Maharaj was that he was not obstructing, creating hurdles in the way the Lord was trying to move him. That is Prahlad Maharaj. Naturally attracted to Krishna and naturally happy. And Hiranyakashipu, in one sense, if you study Bhagavatam, who is Hiranyakashipu? Much greater confidant of Lord Vishnu. He is an eternal associate. He lives in the spiritual world. And in the spiritual world, the doors are not meant for stopping somebody, because in spiritual world, there is nothing outsider and insider. Everybody is insider. The doors are required in this material world. If we study carefully, in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, the queens or the goddess of fortune, they are brooming. Not because there is a dirt, because there is an enthusiasm to serve. It cannot be unclean and becomes clean. No, everything is clean. Similarly, there is nothing outside and inside. They were all, and the four Kumaras were stopped at the seventh door, not even the first door. So they were so close to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By Lord's own will, they acted the way they are not supposed to act. Now, we can have any technical explanation, you know, they were actually not in the spiritual world and this happened, that happened. But according to Bhagavad, this happened. You know, they were in the spiritual world. We have to learn from this how one should not act whimsically, because Lakshmi also predicted their fall down, because they stopped Mother Lakshmi also. When we can understand, yes, it was the desire of the Lord. And when they came to this material world, Jay and Vijay, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, what a strong resentment, what anger toward the Supreme Personality of God. Why? Because they adapted a different culture. This part of the Bhagavatam talks about two kinds of culture. One is the culture which is satisfied culture, contentment, happy, self-satisfied. Another to continue to remain in anxiety. When we study properly this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam and compare to the modern world, in the modern world, if somebody is content and satisfied, he is called as lazy and useless. Your blood pressure has to increase. You have to take lots of medicine. Your life should be so unstable, running from one place to another place. Constantly traveling. When you travel constantly from one place to another place, in the plane, in the train, in the car, that is considered as achieving something in life. What do you achieve? Crash. Plane crashing, car crashing, taking lots of pills and making lots of money. Nothing but Hiranyakashipu's civilization. And that's what Hiranyakashipu could not stand, Prahlad being so cool from his language. You know, there is no change. You know, he wanted him to be best of the demons, as Gopinath was mentioning, make me a better demon. How can he be better than Hiranyakashipu? He was the best. But still he had the desire that my son should be a better demon than me. More anxieties. And Prahlad, fortunately, he adapted the culture of Narad Muni. You know, be satisfied. When we actually study the modern world, it is so similar. It is exactly similar. That if you are content and satisfied, there is no anxiety. And if you don't have anxiety in this material world, one person went to a psychiatrist. And he said, I have a problem. He said, what is it? I have no problem. He had a problem because it's a true story. He had no problem, that became a problem. How can I live like this? There should be some challenging situation. There should be a situation where I am controlled by anxiety. Then I can take further steps in my life. So that is material world. And Prahlad was exactly opposite of this. Because he learned the art. Here Hiranyakashipu is talking about killing Vishnu. And Prahlad is talking about seeing Vishnu everywhere. If we study, there is a theme in this storyline. It is not that story is there only, okay, Prahlad came to the school and, you know, he didn't learn what they taught. Then the Shandanamarka brought them to Hiranyakashipu. And then he spoke, okay, tat sadhu manne suravarya dehinam. And then again they took him back, they tried to teach him, and then he taught his friend, then he told about his life, how he was taught by Narad Muni. And then again all the teachers saw that he is spoiling all other children also. They brought him back to Hiranyakashipu. He continued his philosophy to Hiranyakashipu, and again Hiranyakashipu became very angry. And then he chastised the demons, and then again they took him back, they tried to teach him, they tried to kill him. You know, nothing happened. Again he came back, again he spoke something to Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyakashipu eventually tried to, you know, kill Prahlad Maharaj, destroying the pillar. There came the Lord, and Lord killed Hiranyakashipu, and Prahlad offered the prayers, and Prahlad was given the benediction. You know, this is the storyline which affects our consciousness, a beautiful story. But within the storyline of Lord Narsingdev's appearance, Hiranyakashipu's demonic mentality, Prahlad's teaching, we may not be connected to the pastime now. Pastime happened many millions of years ago. But the principle of the pastime, the lesson of the pastime is very much relevant. Hiranyakashipu's civilization still exists. Sometimes people ask this question, why does Krishna and his incarnation only appear in India? Why not other places? Because Hiranyakashipu doesn't appear anywhere other than India. All biggest demons, best of the demons, the physically strong and the intellectually strong demons only appeared in India. Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, Ravan, Kumbhakarna, you know, Hiranyaksha, all the biggest demons. Therefore, this will continue to happen. We have the choice to accept the land of Dharma, but within that land of Dharma, to make it land of Dharma, a lot of Adharma was prevalent and is prevalent also. Prahlad Maharaj, where did he grow? He grew up in the land which was filled with Adharma. There was no scope for him to practice devotional life. He could have adjusted, like once Maharaj mentioning, you know, he could have actually compromised a little bit. There was no need for Prahlad to say, you know, the way he is saying, so bold and so blunt. Prahlad Maharaj is very blunt verbally, but very gentle physically. His body language is expressed by Narad Muni to Yudhishthira Maharaj. The saintly qualities of Prahlad. You know, he knew the art of talking to people. He knew the art of behaving properly. But still, because where was he behaving? He was not only behaving. You can't just behave without having a philosophy. And Prahlad had a philosophy, and Prabhupada writes in one purport, because Prahlad had the philosophy which was exactly opposite of his father's philosophy, there was a conflict. There was a continual conflict. And therefore in devotional service yesterday, myself and Radha Gopinath were discussing, he was talking about some of his acquaintance, relatives. You know, they come from Sri Vaishnava family. But if you see them, there is no Sri and there is no Vaishnava only. The lifestyle. You know, you'll wonder that what is this? Which place do I live? When we go out and meet our, you know, close friends and relatives who are not in devotional service, but we knew them before we were devotees. Then we understand, you know, there is such a different culture. There is totally different culture. They don't understand our language. We understand their language, fortunately, and give a proper understanding also. Then what kind of lifestyle they are leading? Because in Bhakti Yoga, you know, sometimes you wonder, you know, Prahlad, why was he so strong? He could have been little compromising, he could have told his father, it's okay, you be demon also, but add little Krishna in your life. No, first he was establishing the philosophical understanding. Adding Krishna in our life, not compromising. First we establish the foundational principle that one can never be happy in this material world. One cannot enjoy separately from Krishna. That has to be established. And then according to one's conditioning, on a practical level, little Krishna consciousness may be added. But the problem sometime what happens is that we always discuss with the children. When the concept comes, what is the wrong, if little this, if little that. You know, I want this also, I want that also. Some devil and some divine. No, devil and divine, they don't combine together. The devil and divine always conflict together. It's a bad mixture. In the Ayurveda, I think honey and ghee, right, or a camphor, they are good. But when they are mixed, it turns out to be poison. Whether the divine survives or the demonic survives. But when the divine and demonic are tried to be compromised and mixed, that combination, what does it do? It destroys us. Therefore, this philosophy, you know, we keep hearing, especially from young people and especially from devotee children, that I want this also. I want this also. I want this much, you know, I don't want to practice the way my parents are practicing devotional life. They are too fanatical. They are too sincere. I want to be sincere for both the world. I want to be sincere for the material world. And I want to be sincere for the spiritual world. No, you can't put, you know, our foot in both the boats. Because both are going opposite direction. They are fighting. Therefore, Prahlad, because Hiranyakashipu was extreme, therefore Prahlad had to take an extreme stand in regards to presenting Krishna consciousness. Hiranyakashipu's stand was, I need to kill Vishnu. And Prahlad's stand was, I need to see Vishnu everywhere. So you want to kill Vishnu and Prahlad wants to see Vishnu everywhere. That's what he told his friends, that actually the goal of life is what? My dear friends, try to see Vishnu everywhere. When we try to see Vishnu everywhere, when we try to see Krishna everywhere, then there is no question of compromise. You cannot compromise with life. Because if Vishnu is everywhere, you need to worship Vishnu according to his standards, according to his demand. Therefore, when Hiranyakashipu offered his prayers to Lord Brahma, he got the benediction of becoming immortal. That was the beginning of a disaster. Prabhupada explains that one should not accept benediction which he cannot enjoy. If you have a benediction, but if you cannot enjoy it properly, it causes great anxiety. You have the benediction, but you cannot enjoy. Sometimes people buy something very valuable, very costly. You have that benediction of having something very extraordinary, but you cannot enjoy because anxiety is there. What if somebody throws stones at this? What if something happens? What if somebody steals it? So that material has two things to do. Cause hankering, and when you have it, cause anxiety. So Hiranyakashipu asked something which was too much for him to handle as a demon. He wanted to be an immortal in this material body. Wanting to be immortal in a mortal body is a fantastic idea, but not realistic. Therefore, if you study carefully, Hiranyakashipu did not even live a full lifespan. If he had not asked for the benediction, maybe he would have survived for 100 years. But he died when Prahlad was very young. You don't see, normally, father die when a child is very young. The child grows. Hiranyakashipu died when Prahlad was maybe 5, 6, 7 years old. That means it was untimely death. Even though he asked for immortality, he was killed. Why? Because he couldn't enjoy that benediction. And after receiving that benediction, he came to his place and he declared, he told his followers, he said, Vishnu is the root. My goal is to kill Vishnu. As Krishna Chandrapu gave a brilliant class, in the modern world, the envy of the media, when we are so much influenced by the media, the power of communication is so great, the power to convince us is so great. But the underlying principle we don't see. What is the underlying principle? The underlying principle is to systematically abolish all concept of God, all concept of religion. Anything good about God has to be hidden. And make society in such a way, there is a constant struggle to live a peaceful and happy life. Like one of our sannyasi, he was mentioning, to live a simple life in the modern world is more complicated. If you want fresh water from the river, so much of, you go to Wada, now, for example. To live in Bombay peacefully is very easy, physically. But to live simple life in Wada is more complicated. So many plans has to be done. Why? Because the modern society has created that you cannot enjoy simple life. You have to struggle to enjoy simple life. So Hiranyakashipu said, he said, destroy. I want to destroy Vishnu because he is the root. If the root is destroyed, then the plants, the twigs and the branches and the fruits are all destroyed. Therefore, he wanted to destroy the demigods. He wanted to destroy the sages. He wanted to destroy the schools. He wanted to destroy the yagyashalas. He wanted to stop all education of the Vedas. And then his followers, you know, they are better servants, more than what the master is asking. So they went and destroyed the trees. Which trees? Jackfruit trees, mango trees, cashew trees. Somebody asked, I think, why people don't plant fruit trees? All fashion trees are planted. The government also. They say because people will steal fruits. Just see. Because they will steal the fruit, therefore we don't want to plant. You don't eat, I will also not eat. Public place meant for public. It is no question. It is not considered as stealing. If the fruit trees are on there in the roadside, that shows the abundance. But no, we will not do that. We will plant all kinds of trees which are sinful trees. Prabhupada explains the trees which do not give fruits, flowers and vegetables. They are sinful trees. But you pay more money. If you go to the nursery and ask for a mango tree and a tree which is, you know, simply for beauty, that tree costs more money. You buy more for a sinful tree than a pious tree. So Hiranyakashipu, this was the plan. Destroy everything. Like in the modern time also, we see that we went to one place, one of the most important holy place. And the pujari is where, you know, when you go close to the altar, they make you feel sick. Why? Because when you go close to the altar, before even you touch the Lord, they say, paisa do. Itna paisa chahiye, utna paisa chahiye. Mata teko. Mata, jab tak aap paisa nahi doge, tab tak chhodte nahi. Not everybody appreciates being at the feet of the Lord for a long time. You know, maybe devotees will enjoy, but most people who are pious, they want to touch as fast as possible. No? Because prayers are already offered what they want. They want to get out of the altar as fast as possible. And the pujaris force them to give money. So we ask the pujari that why do you do like this? Now you are all brahmanas. You have a dignified life. He said, what can we do? He said, this is the last generation we are going to do this. He said, we also have a dignity. But nobody is supporting us. Rather, if you want to offer puja, there is a bid. The government controls that temple. There is a bid. The pujari has to say, if I want to dress tomorrow, if I want to dress the Lord, I'll pay 75,000 rupees. Another pujari's family will say, I'll pay 60,000. Another will say, I'll pay 80,000 rupees. So the government takes that much of money and the pujari is an anxiety. You know, I have to make more money than what I have given to the government. So naturally, what will you do? Any visitor who comes to the temple, he's not interested. His only interest is that I need to get that money. He may have some devotion, but that devotion is not flourished because the surrounding what is given to him is very unfriendly. Speaking philosophy is very easy. But do I create the culture for someone to practice that philosophy? And the government does not. The brahmanas don't have the philosophy. They don't have the culture to practice that philosophy. They cannot worship the Lord with free from anxiety. Can you imagine? You are worshipping one of the most important deity in the world, but you are filled with anxiety about money. And who has done it? The government has done it. They said, we are running the temple very nicely. We are in Melukote. Of course, those pujaris, you know, they are more organized. They don't ask for money. But what is their salary? 350 rupees per month. The government does not pay any salary or any sponsorship if you study Veda. But if someone dies drinking liquor, if he dies drinking liquor, you know, drinking liquor itself is sin. And if you drink liquor and you die, the government pays him 50,000 rupees, 5 lakh rupees. What does this indicate? Be sinful and take money. Be nonsense and we will support you. But if you are good, if you want to create a culture, proper culture, we have no facilities. And that's what Hiranyakashipu was doing. Hiranyakashipu was doing like this. I said, there should be no support of any sort for people to practice devotional life. Study very carefully. You know, that's the underlying principle. That destroy all the good trees. Destroy all the yagyashala. Destroy all the schools. Wherever that culture is there, Krishna consciousness will flourish. Wherever that culture is not there, only philosophy is there, that struggle, that continual anxiety. You know, you tell, or you tell yourself, tell others, that how one should always put others in the front. No, always give other space, other time. No, make, help others. Like our Namanand Prabhu was telling our 10th standard children how to study and practice devotional life. He said, especially in India, he said, this concept of cutthroat competition is so great. He said, you are forced to enter into that kind of life. When you are forced to enter into that kind of life, you know, your life of devotional concept and your life of great ambition, he said, very practical. He said, they are so conflicting. When you are practicing your bhakti, you are thinking about your grades. When you are trying to practice your studies, you are thinking about your chanting. So what happens? A child thinks, you know, I have to give up one of these two things. I can't handle these two conflicting situations. His mind is not mature to handle these two conflicting things. It's easier to say, be in the muddy water, but like a lotus flower. You know, not every flower is a lotus flower. Lotus flower is lotus flower. Every flower is not lotus flower. And this anxiety of handling these two things causes great pain and difficulty. And that's what Hiranyakashipu was trying to do. Creating such a system that naturally one will not accept. And he was applying. If you study Jarasandha's character, if you study some other demon's character, they appointed the brahmanas. And brahmanas were blessing Jarasandha. No, they would take, they would perform, help him perform yajna. He is giving charity. And every Brahmana is receiving and their blessing also. Ayushman Bhava, Vijayi Bhava. This is what a Brahmana is supposed to bless a demon. But they are forced because the surrounding was so strong and very few people can be like Prahlad who are bold and blunt to speak and go against that culture and create a new culture. And that's what caused Hiranyakashipu great trouble. I said, you are trying to create a culture within a culture. You know, my culture is a demonic culture, and within that culture, when nobody has ever tried, you are trying to create a Krishna conscious culture. Therefore, Prabhupada explains, practicing devotional service in the material world is very difficult. The opposite current is there, but it is not impossible. It is possible. So therefore, as Hiranyakashipu was giving this instruction to Prahlad Maharaj, the demons, but Prahlad, by great teachings of Narad Muni, the philosopher went so deep into his system that he became extremely careful of his surrounding. He was avoiding those surrounding which was unfriendly to his Krishna consciousness, keeping the words of his guru. When he came to his guru's ashram, Shandan Amarka's ashram, the school, the international school. No, again, if you see the school system also, that what the school boasts about, most of the school, they boast about the facilities. They boast about infrastructure. They boast about their lab system. They boast about all their advanced equipment which is there in the school. They never boast about, you know, from here so many kids have come out without smoking, without doing all kinds of nonsense. They say nobody cares for that. And create as luxurious facilities as possible to the children. And Chanakya says, how can you study? Luxury and study do not go well together. A child cannot learn if there is unlimited luxurious items. And that is not a school. That is a, you know, it's a slaughterhouse. And therefore Prabhupada, again, when we would hear in the beginning, you know, every education system is nothing but a slaughterhouse. In 8th, one of our child, he's from Gopal's garden, you know, and he's going to some other school, some other tuition classes in 10th standard. And he came to me and said, Prabhuji, you can't imagine, you know, what's happening in the classes. No? Other than in the classroom studying their maths and their science, how they're focused studying? Because, you know, if I study like this, that whatever I'm desiring to do will be fulfilled. This education will facilitate me. And what they talk about, 8th, 9th, 10th standard kids. No, not just happened few days back, he removes the condom. No, the boy, 9th and 10th standard boy. And talks about nothing but drugs, illicit sex, intoxication. Their mind is filled with all kinds of garbage. And how much money they pay? 40,000, 60,000, 70,000. You know, to go and study so that they can collect all this garbage in their mind. He was like shaken. I said, why don't you speak to your parents regularly? He said, if I speak to my parents, they may be more shocked. And, you know, they will not adjust properly. They may go to the tuition class and say, no, stop this all nonsense. You know, they're not going to stop. His interest is not in making children, you know, with good values. He's interested that I will see that you get good grades. My responsibility is that you get good grades. What happens with your life, it is not my interest. So Hiranyakashipu was the founder of all these kind of schools. You know, Shanda Amarka, they were teaching all these kind of things to Prahlad Maharaj. But Prahlad Maharaj was extremely careful, never got involved in it. You know, just study for the sake of studying. But he was already educated from his teacher. He never compromised. Only very few children, when they have this extreme degree of sincerity, of not wanting to, you know, adapt this kind of culture, can survive. If they change their philosophy, the danger is not having difficulties. The danger is changing the philosophy. Outside also people are nice. No, not only devotees are nice, even outside people are very nice. We are not saying they are not nice. But their niceness is very deceptive. And that deceptive niceness, you know, they may be very friendly. They may bring you, you know, they may go out of their way to bring a liquor bottle. And here the prasadam devotees may not serve you very happily. Now, there may be some difficulty. There may be some kind of, you know, pushing and shaking while serving prasad. You know, maybe some pushing and shaking for getting darshan. Maybe harsh. But ultimately, what are they doing? They are serving prasad. But outside they are serving liquor. They are serving poison. But the way they serve poison is so nice. Such a culture. Shake your hands. You know, tip top. Talk so nicely. And then our young generation feels, you know, this is also good. No, I need little devil also. I need little divine also. No, whether it is a devil is going to destroy the divine or the divine is going to destroy the devil. Therefore, the concept of battle between the demons and demigods is not only historical, it is a practical reality, eternally existing. You can't take side here also, take side there also. Yuyutsava could not say, no, Pandavas, I like you. Bhishma, Drona, Shalya, they said, no, no, we are here. We will bless you. Krishna said, I don't care for your blessing. That is Yudhishthira's etiquette to receive blessings. But my etiquette is what? If you are here or there, you don't say, I like Krishna, but I'm going to stay there. Okay, you like me, but get out of this place. Out of this world. There's no question of, you know, many shades. No, whether it is black or white. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, accepting the teachings of Narad Muni, he created a rebellion. He revolted against the entire school system of Shand and Amarka. And they got shaken. They brought Prahlad to Hiranyakashipu. Now the first part of the instruction, the first thing what Hiranyakashipu was told by Prahlad is, talked about anxiety-free life. He said, you go to forest, Vrindavan, live a life of vanaprastha. If you ask people retirement, even some devotees, they are very enthusiastic to retire at certain stage of their life. Very enthusiastic to practice devotional service. But when they retire, they say, how will I be engaged now? Because the habit of being with the world, slogging, is so strong. When they see empty space in their life, they said, I can't chant 64 rounds. I can't chant, I can't read Bhagavatam. I can't worship the deities. They feel so empty, they go back to work. Just see how much effect is there. It is considered as emptiness. No, it is not considered as emptiness, rather great facilities. As Prabhupada explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Retired life means what? If you have the ability to preach, if you don't have the ability to preach, worship the deities. It is not waste of time. It is not useless. You know, I'm not being productive. In the mundane world, everybody talks of being productive. I need to create something. Deity worship is what? You don't create anything. It's the same dressing every day, same bhoga every day, same offering every day, same, you know, pujas every day, same mantras every day, same mudras every day. You know, why should I do the same thing every day? I need to do something different every day. That is mundane world. So therefore, when something every day new and here every day something same steady, so unless we adapt to that culture, then devotional culture becomes very complicated and very difficult to execute. So Prahlad Maharaj, when he came second time, this time again Hiranyakashipu asked him, what did you learn? It was a half answer in the first part. He said, you go to the forest. Now he said, what should you do in the forest? Because you are such a big king, now you'll be empty. So he gave 9 processes of bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Sparanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam, Padasevanam, Itipum Sarpita Bhakti. He said, in this way, my dear father, engage your time. That's a direct linking process. When Hiranyakashipu heard that, which was contrary to what he was practicing, he just threw his child. He said, I think he chastised the demon Shand and Amarka. He said, I trusted you people, but you are acting against my wish. And they were very clear. They didn't want to take any responsibility of what was happening with Prahlad Maharaj. He said, no. He said, we are not responsible. It is on his own he is doing it. Then Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad. Caused so much of pain to Prahlad. Why? Because just see that Hiranyakashipu Prahlad, he actually liked Prahlad as Gopinath was acting. I remember this one of the first lecture I heard Radhanand Maharaj speak in 88. One of the first lecture, and he was narrating this part of the story. And he said, just like when Krishna Chandra Prabhu, you know, that time it was Hridayanand Prabhu, you know, it is natural that smells the head of Priyavrat. So Hiranyakashipu also had the same feeling for Prahlad, but he had his own concept. You know, my liking, my son should be, I love my son based upon my conditions. These are my conditions. And if those conditions do not practice, then the truth changes. The love of the child changes according to the response of the child. But that is not truth. The principle of truth is eternal. Truth does not change based upon my experience. I worship Krishna. Why? Because things are nice. I stop worshipping Krishna because things are not nice. So that is a relative truth. Satya or absolute truth or the relationship with absolute truth is not changeable based upon our surrounding. And that is called as unconditional love, and love does not change. And that can only be possible with the Lord. And Hiranyakashipu proved that it is not possible in this mundane world. He cried tears. The tears were flowing from his eyes, smelling the head of Prahlad. But same Hiranyakashipu, when he heard something which was not his philosophy, he became terribly angry. And he wanted to kill his son. The same father was smelling the head of his son, is now wanting to see the blood of his own child. And he tried very hard, but he couldn't kill Prahlad. Why? Because Prahlad's concept was, he said, whatever happens for me, Vishnu is the reality. Now, since Vishnu is the reality, other things are simply temporary phases of my life. He had that confidence, he had that faith, and he would not move, he would not budge, he would not change. And again the teacher pacified Hiranyakashipu, and they took the child back to the school. They tried again to change Prahlad, but Prahlad was like, according to Hiranyakashipu, was like a dog's tail. You know, just see. He gave the example of dog's tail, that however much you try to bend the dog's tail, it cannot bend. Wish it happens with us also. That is an indirect glorification of Prahlad. The problem with us is that our tail is not a dog tail, it's a plastic tail. Whichever side you bend it, it bends. This side or that side. According to where we are. If we are in the material world, you know, we are friendly to the material world. If we are in the devotional world, we are friendly to devotional world. And this conflicting personality, the dual personality, is the most dangerous phase for a practicing devotee. Because to be attached to Krishna is a long sadhana. But to be attached to material world, it's very easy. Gopinath Prabhu gives that example in our Kannada language. There is a saying, to make a pot, a clay pot, it takes long time. Kumbharanege varusha, donnege nimisha. Kumbhara means a potter, he takes long time to make a pot. But to break that pot, how long does it take? Not even 1 second. No, you hit the pot, it is broken. It becomes useless. So our bhakti is like trying to make a clay pot. Even if the clay pot has been given a shape, since it is not a golden pot, when you take it to the material world, if you don't handle it very carefully, when you throw it here, throw it there, even if you put it in the bag, what does it do? It breaks. So therefore, here Prahlad Maharaj is not like that kind of pot. He was a golden pot. And nothing was able to change his consciousness. Therefore, Hiranyakashipu said, this child is like a dog's tail. He does not move. And he tried to kill him by all means, and he was not able to kill Prahlad Maharaj. Then he asked this question, where do you get your strength from? And again, Prahlad Maharaj saw the source of Hiranyakashipu's energy is also coming from Krishna, and my also is coming from Krishna. He said, Savai balim balina chaparesham. He said, my dear father, all the strength comes from the same source where it is coming for you also. But the problem is, you are misusing it. And then Prahlad was so desperate to preach to his father. He said, my father, give up all this demonic mentality. Many demons like you and others have tried to fight against the nature, but all have been vanquished. He said, you are asking, Krishna controls everything. He controls the three modes of material nature. He controls the power of your senses. He controls your mind. He controls everything. Why so stubborn? Why not fall at the feet of the Lord and take his shelter? That created more anger. Why? Because he was hell-bent upon not changing. He would not listen to those sweet words. So many people have cried listening to Prahlad's instructions through the form of the words in the Bhagavatam. And Hiranyakashipu was so fortunate to hear directly from the horse's mouth. But that did not satisfy his heart. When Hanumanji was glorifying Ravan, can you imagine Ravan's good fortune? He had 20 years to hear Harikatha. He should have been in ecstasy. But when Hanumanji spoke about Lord Ram in 20 years, you know, that was putting some, you know, melted iron in his ears. It caused great anger. He didn't accept it. He was very upset. And he wanted to destroy Hanumanji. So similarly here, Hiranyakashipu heard from Prahlad Maharaj, but he was not willing to change. He said, you rascal, you have become more intelligent than me. Again, the original, you know, statement, when the child becomes the devotee, when the son becomes the devotee, or daughter becomes a devotee, what do the parents and the grandparents say? You think you know better than me? I have seen more rainy seasons. That's all. That is his intelligence. Just because he has seen or she has seen more rainy season, therefore they are intelligent. What is this intelligence? But what is their understanding? There is no understanding. Just this kind of statements, you know, big statements that I know better than you. What do you know about this world? You stupid child. Again, their Mahajan is Hiranyakashipu. But Prahlad did not. But at the same time, very interesting, Prahlad Maharaj never became angry and lost the cultural etiquette towards his father. He never compromised with his philosophy, but at the same time he did not become angry. And the problem was only Hiranyakashipu, you know, he had no culture. No, he couldn't take it. And then Hiranyakashipu asked this question, if your Lord is everywhere as you say, then where is he? Is he there in this pillar? Again, Prahlad said, you know, he's everywhere. So to make his statement, you know, Narad Muni explained, Satyam vidhatum nijabhritya bhashatam stambe sabhayam. Because Prahlad said that, yes, my Lord is there in this pillar. Krishna became very, you know, he said, oh, Prahlad has made this statement. I need to make his statement true. Because Lord Narasingha does not need to come from the pillar to kill Hiranyakashipu. He could kill from anywhere. As Maharaj mentioned many times, he said, he is there in the heart. He is there in the heart of the demons also. He is there in the heart of the materialistic also. He is there in the heart of the devotees also. Depending upon who is calling, Krishna shakes the internal organs. If he is a demon, he can pull one wire and is dead. If he is a devotee aspiring strongly, he can remove one bad wire and make him fully Krishna conscious. Krishna can do anything. He doesn't need to come. But why did he come from that pillar? Because Prahlad Maharaj made a statement that my Lord is everywhere. And therein it is explained that why did Hiranyakashipu not ask Prahlad, is your Lord in your heart? If Prahlad had said that, he said, you know, I want to kill Prahlad. But before killing Prahlad, I want to kill his Lord. I want to show him that I have killed your Lord. Then I will kill Prahlad. But if he's there, if I ask that question, that yes, my Lord is there in the heart, then I have to kill Prahlad first. But I will not be able to see, you know, how I killed Vishnu. Just see arrogance. He is thinking in this way, I want to show Prahlad how I have killed your God. As the materialistic scientist, you know, the materialistic, there are good scientists also, but the materialistic scientists, their whole agenda, their whole talk, you know, is so demonic. Hiranyakashipu was powerful also, and philosophical also is demonic. The problem in the present world, as the yuga changes, if you study carefully Satya, Treta, Dwapara and Kali Yuga, in Satya Yuga it was outright, you know, that I'm a demon and I'm a devotee. There were total contrast. So nobody would be cheated. The devotees would know that this is a demon and the non-devotees would know this is a devotee. Same thing in Treta Yuga also. In Ram Lila also, if you study carefully, you know, Ram didn't have to deal with the tricky figures, tricky personalities. They were there, Kaikeyi and Mantara, and their game was only played for a short time. You don't hear Mantara anymore like Shakuni in the Mahabharata. She's not everywhere, all pervading. She was there in the beginning, and her plans did not bear any fruits. When she came, when Dasharath was dead, she decorated herself, and Valmiki explains that she decorated herself, but she was looking like a monkey which is tied with ropes. A very clear description. There is no ambiguity. And Shatrughna grabbed her and he was just pulling her, you know, and he wanted to kill her. And Bharat said, you know, what to speak of her? I would have killed my mother, but that will not satisfy my Lord Ram. So her game was over. Kaikai's game was over. She had to become a devotee by the force of her son. And whoever was a demon, Lord Ram instantly killed them. Didn't give them any time, any space to grow. When he came to Lanka, you know, Shurpanaka, Ravan, again in the kingdom of Ravan, it is not that because they were demons, they were not loyal. This is what people appreciate. And what they appreciate, if you see, you know, sometime we Indians, you know, we are not these bodies, we are spirit soul, but still we are Indians according to legal systems also, and still the spirit is there of being Indians. And what is our natural tendency? Natural tendency is to condemn as much as possible anything Indian. Condemn as much as possible. Apna to aisa hi hai. One devotee's father had gone to Britain and he came back. I said, how are you? I was shocked. For next 15 minutes, he was condemning India. Prabhuji, kya sunao, kya desh ho, sab kuch systematic hai. Bus is systematic, this is systematic, that is systematic. And while glorifying that, he was very conscious to condemn India. But who has made like that? If you study carefully, who has made like that? We are made like that. We are responsible for it. So therefore, what does the demonic civilization do? The demonic civilization creates high impression about their civilization. Where people by superficial way, they get impressed. And when Prabhupada was in British, somebody told Prabhupada, this is British museum. He said, all stolen from India. Huh? He had the vision to see. He said, nothing to glorify this. The gold on the British Parliament, what is that? Again stolen from India. If you see the culture, we are not trying to create division between this or that. But because they are trying to create a high impression about, you know, that culture, and even devotees get hooked by that culture. Therefore Saraswati Thakur said, you know, that culture has to be destroyed. Because as long as that culture survives, we cannot flourish in our bhakti. Because the natural tendency, getting mesmerized. But how they have done it, if you study American history, if you study European history, if you study British history, we don't study history, we only see, wow, great cars, how honest they are. In their dealing, they are very honest. But we never study how cruel they were. As Prabhupada explained, stolen property, divide amongst the thieves equally. That they mastered the art very nicely. All stolen property from outside, but amongst them, they can divide it very nicely. So, Hiranyakashipu has created that culture. Ravan had created that culture. Explained in the Ramayana that there was not one demon who was not loyal to Ravan. They are willing to lay down their life, but never give up Ravan. Can we not appreciate that quality? Nobody could purchase them. Only Vibhishan and his three people, you know, they disobeyed Ravan, not based upon some temptation, based upon philosophical difference, a cultural difference. He kicked him out. And it is not that thousands of people followed Ravan. No, they were stuck to Ravan. He said, our great king, he has created golden Lanka. Now everywhere there is gold. Gold was everywhere. He had no aesthetic sense in one sense. Sab jagah mein gold. Raste pe gold, either gold, everywhere gold. When you have something too much, you don't know how to use it. Like food. You know, we met one of our devotee's father is a cartoonist. He made a beautiful cartoon when the McDonald's came to India. There is one cartoon, the heavy, lofty guy, big person, he's eating a hamburger. And there is mentioned fast food. And there is another cartoon, mother is telling her baby must be a beggar. Mother is saying that, my dear child, fast so that you can save the food. What he has done, fast in a big letter, food in the big letter. So that also, if you read, it is read as fast food. But the definition is totally different. Because they have no food, you know, the child is starving, so mother is advising the child, you have to fast from the food so that we can save the food. And here the food is being wasted. Already he's such a big belly. You know, you don't need to eat that kind of stuff. But you're just putting in your belly more, overeating and overthrowing. Like I read one article when I was in London, that every year, every family, the British family, they actually waste worth £250 to £300 of proper food eatables. Just throw it. Now I was telling our Wada devotees, you know, when we grow aloo in the farm or grow some kind of vegetables, how hard it is to grow. And no farmer who has grown it, he will never say, "Mero ke achha nahi lagta hai, phek do." I remember when we had our Gurukul here, when I came first time, the cooks were not so great. You know, they had no interest in cooking nice food. Their interest was doing as fast as possible and get their salaries. And especially during the Ekadashi day, you know, our Gurukul children would get Sabudana Khichdi. And the aloo would be half size. Aloo would be cut into two parts. And then naturally it was not boiled properly. So what the kids would do? They would take the aloo and throw at each other. The whole prasadam hall would be filled with aloos everywhere. And the kids had aloos on their faces. That was the time for them, entertainment time. Again, if you see the food habits of our children also, they have very clear, I don't like this. I don't care you have cooked or not cooked, how much hard work you have taken to cook. You know, I don't care. I don't like this, I don't want to eat it. I don't like it. Why? Again, the same culture. Because I have the power to pay. I don't care how much you struggle to make it. I have the power to pay. I eat what I like. I don't eat what I don't like. Not only I don't eat what I don't like, I throw what I don't like. That is the modern civilization. Throwing. You know, just if you go and see in the garbage can, sometime our devotees in America, Sankirtan devotees, they go in the backside of the big malls and there are large quantity of vegetables unused. They don't... He said it is, now he can't sell it. It is beyond the, you know, stipulated time. So they just throw and devotees collect it. It is still fresh. Because devotees know utility is the principle. So again see, because I interact with children. And this is one of the most, you know, troubles. When you see children, especially Bombay children only. Our Wada children don't do it. Whatever comes in their plate, they eat. Why? Because they are not pampered. There is nobody to pamper them. No, they have whatever they eat and they eat nicely. They are grateful. They eat nicely, properly and they thank. And our children in Bombay, you know, they are very clear. Prabhuji, achha nahi lagta hai. When we go to yatras, I want to make this point so that parents, recently we had a seminar on healthy eating. And again, behind the healthy eating, there is again a powerful culture. That this person who conducted this training program, the children said, Mataji, idhar to likha hai, it has been approved by the health department. He said, approved by the health department. That same department also approves the liquor, cigarettes, and all other products. So why you are, you know, giving much importance to this approval also? What is that? It is poison. I personally see sometimes the parents give all kinds of fast food, not realizing what they are giving. Our Damodarpur, when he goes to Yatra, you should see how he cooks. He has no reason to come. He cooks nice prasad, you know, pula. He's only thinking, you know, cooking, okay, I want to cook this, I want to cook that. And he cooks. And what do the kids do? When they are eating, it looks like, you know, they are great austere people. No? Yuktahar. No? They eat little rice, half chapati, little dal, little chabji. No, not spoiled children. But after eating, they go back to their room and open their bags and remove their chips and their, you know, and their chivda and their biscuits. This is our favorite. They eat. Why the parents pay for it? And there is no philosophical understanding. This is a craving. It creates, not only creates a craving, behind that there is a sugar, there is a salt. And what does sugar and salt do? It makes you hyperactive. Hyperactive and unlimitedly restless. So therefore, you know, I studied this time this whole chapter, not only from the point of view of enjoying and absorbing the Leela, but from the modern context, the modern point of view. So therefore, Prahlad was very clear in his understanding. Extremely clear. And Hiranyakashipu was very clear in his understanding. Both were not budging. One was saying, this is the most important culture. This is how I want to lead my life. And Prahlad was saying, no, I don't want. And in that, what is the philosophical conflict? One was saying, God is nowhere. And he's saying, God is everywhere. And eventually God came in this clash between two, you know, when there is an electrical circuit, what does it do? It creates a flash. You know, some fire comes out. So when there was fire between these two conflicting philosophy, who came out? Lord Narsingdev came out. To prove both the parties. No, to Prahlad Maharaj also, to Hiranyakashipu also. You say I am not there, but I am here. You say I am everywhere, I am here also. Wherever you feel, I am here. He came out. And there was a big battle. It was simply a show to give some entertainment to Prahlad Maharaj, because he never went to any sports. He said, Nastya Kridanako Balo Jadavattan Manastaya. He never entertained. You know, he entertained in Krishna's activities. So you're seeing a real wrestling match, a real combat. But that combat lasted for very few minutes. Of course, lasted in one sense for a long time. Narsingdev appeared much before dusk. But he fought, and all the demigods were watching from their heavens, you know, hoping that Lord Narsingdev will kill, but had the fear also, maybe he may not kill. These are demigods, not fully convinced. Therefore, they were hiding. They could not outrightly come and watch the match, as Prahlad was able to do. Prahlad was very straight. He was standing there and watching, but the demigods were hiding. And it is explained that when he was fighting, Hiranyakashipu saw the demigods. He said, okay, first I'll kill this Vishnu, then I'll kill you also. You guys are enjoying watching me kill. He said, I know, I will kill him and I'll kill you also. Therefore, all the demigods, when it was becoming evening, they became very scared. They told Lord Narsingh, please, the demons become very powerful, but this doesn't apply for Lord Narsingdev. No, not that the demons become very powerful in the evening and the Lord become very weak. Like when Lord Vishnu, when Lord Ram killed Vali, this is one argument is given by people why Ram was hiding and killed Vali. Because anyone who would come in front of Vali, he would take half of their power. Does this logic make any sense? That if Ram comes in front of Vali, does he have the power to handle the power of Lord Ram? Can he handle the power of Lord Ram? It's a stupid. What did Ram say? He said, you are an animal. You are an animal and I am a Kshatriya. As a Kshatriya, I have the right. So Lord Ram didn't even consider Vali to be a warrior. He said, if you are a real warrior, I would have fought. But you are a monkey. You are worse than a monkey. You have no good culture. Ram chastised him. He said, you don't deserve to die, you know, in a straight battle. You don't tell the police officer. You know, if a mafia comes, he said, "Ajao samne samne." No, that is not a police officer can kill him standing in the corner, standing in that corner, making him tie with ropes and kill him, and it is absolutely all right. Why? Because he deserves that kind of punishment. So when Hiranyakashipu came and he saw his fighting and demigods were afraid, but Prahlad is very peacefully standing there, knowing that, okay, my culture is being victorious. And eventually, what did Lord Narsingdev do? Maintaining all the promises what Lord Brahma gave to Hiranyakashipu, he placed Hiranyakashipu on his lap and he went and sat on the same throne which Hiranyakashipu created with great endeavor. All his struggle to create that simhasan was for what? To see his own death. That is material civilization. What is material civilization? That all this fantastic arrangement what the materialistic civilization creates for our pleasure becomes cause of our own death. So Hiranyakashipu sitting on that same throne which he created to prove his supremacy, but is experiencing, what is he experiencing? His death. And how did Lord Narsingdev kill? So powerful demon, he said some demons got killed by Sudarshan Chakra. That means they were actually powerful demons. To be killed by Lord Sudarshan Chakra means, you know, Sudarshan Chakra is so powerful. That means they were actually powerful. But here Lord Narsingdev wanted to prove, you know, what is your power? You think you're so great? He said, "I don't need my Sudarshan Chakra. My nails are sufficient. You think you're so great. What is your greatness? I can kill you." Just by Hiranyakashipu basically was a big balloon. No? When you have a big balloon, you know, it looks great. A material civilization is like a big balloon, colorful balloon. You know, we were coming from Pune, you know, they were selling different kinds of balloons. You know, human figure, toys and different map. You know, very great artistically done. But what is the character of a balloon? If you bring a pin, and whichever artistic balloon it is, however big it is, a small or big, a big Hiranyakashipu or a small Hitler or anybody else, you put the pin there, what does it do? It bursts. So that was the, you know, position of Hiranyakashipu. And nails were like pin, and he just touched and the balloon bursted. The Hiranyakashipu era was finished. And he was lying down there dead, being glorified by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being glorified by Prahlad Maharaj. And what does Prahlad Maharaj say? "Yes, my father, when he would raise his eyebrows, all the demigods would shake." No, they would perform their functions so systematically. Efficiency was there. Quality was there. Again, with all stopping of yajnas, you know, sometime again this question is raised. And you say, only through the rains, the demigods supply grains. Now first you do yajna, the rains come, and through the rains, the grains are supplied. But we don't do anything. The modern man has created greater grains. You know, mangoes would only come once a year. Now we have mangoes throughout the years. Grapes, you can have grapes throughout the years. You want any vegetable, any fruits, any grains, as much as quantity you want, you can get it by our modern technology. You know, Hiranyakashipu also did that. If you read Bhagavatam again, that he had unlimited grain supply, unlimited jewel supply, unlimited, you know, pearl supplies, fruits, vegetables, proper season he could create. Just because he did like that doesn't mean that, you know, that is a great civilization. What was the foundation in how he got it? That's most important. How you got it is important, that rather than getting it. In the Vedic civilization, it's most important how you got it. Getting is not important. Prosperity is there, but how did that prosperity come to Hiranyakashipu? How did that prosperity come to this material world? Tampering, you know, we tamper the whole material nature in such a way that tampering does give unlimited resources. But what is the reaction to that? That is how the Vedic scripture understands. He got everything what he wanted, but how? Not by pleasing Lord Vishnu, but raping Mother Earth. That was his expertise. And he was dead. And that's what Prahlad was saying. You know, my father, when he would raise his eyebrows, all the demigods would be scared. and they would provide everything what he wanted. But now what is his condition? He is dead. He is fallen dead here. So in this way, Lord Narsingdev is establishing. And this is the whole story. Purana means what? It is not, it is old, but still it is new. It never become irrelevant. The relevancy of the Shastra continues to exist at every moment in our life. And ultimately when Prahlad Maharaj offered his prayers to Lord Narsingdev, again very beautiful prayers, talking about his own condition, talking about the materialistic civilization, reconciling. He said, I am not in anxiety, but I am in anxiety seeing others suffering. Naivo dvije durate vaitaranyas. He said, I am busy remembering Krishna, but I am worried about others. And then Lord Narsingdev wanted to offer him benediction, and Prahlad rejected those benediction. He said, I didn't worship you for this reason. Again, my worship of you is based upon love and affection, not for seeking something from you. And then eventually when Lord Narsingdev was going back, what Lord Narsingdev did was, he reconciled the lifestyle of Prahlad Maharaj and lifestyle of Hiranyakashipu with the foundation of proper philosophy. Not that philosophical reconcilement was there. The problem, as again, with this note, we will conclude that when we reconcile based upon cultural difference, the philosophy, that is the most dangerous. It's okay. Don't be so serious. No, one should not be so serious in bhakti. It's okay to have this also, to have that also. This is the most deadly philosophy. To say, yes, I'm weak, I'm not able to do it, and therefore, hear Krishna conscious philosophy, which is the pure philosophy, not compromise philosophy, is very important. The problem between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad was very straight. When you try to reconcile between two philosophies, which Bali Maharaj tried to do. He was ambitious like Hiranyakashipu, and he was also very affectionate to Prahlad. He had devotion to Vamandev, and he was also very impressed by Hiranyakashipu. Therefore, Vamandev already come, and if you study, Vamandev could see the weak point of Bali Maharaj. Therefore, he glorifies. You know, when Hiranyaksha was killed, Varadev felt, wow, that was a great fight. And he said, when Hiranyakashipu, he said, Vishnu is only telling, he said, Vishnu was afraid of Hiranyakashipu and he was hiding. Where was he hiding? He hid in the heart of Hiranyakashipu. He could go up to the Vaikuntha planet looking for Vishnu. So Bali Maharaj was being impressed, like Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, when Shakuni, not this Shakuni, the other Shakuni, the son of Vrakasur, Vrakasur, his father was Shani. And how did Lord Vishnu call him? He said, hey, son of Shani. So by calling son of Shani, you know, Vrakasur became very satisfied. Oh, he is bringing my father here, my great father, my wonderful father, my Mahajan, my example, my ideal. So whatever Vishnu was telling, he was able to hear. So your Bali Maharaj also was in this combined. He accepted Shukracharya, who was the guru of Hiranyakashipu. And he became great ambitious personality. But he also, Prahlad Maharaj was there. So whether to accept Prahlad Maharaj or Hiranyakashipu. He was ambitious, he conquered the demigods. But when Vishnu came, ultimately what did Bali Maharaj say when Shukracharya told him, you know, don't give it to Vishnu. He gave so many technical reasons. Bali Maharaj said, no, I already promised. How can I take back my promise? I fear nothing greater than the principle of not fulfilling the promise. He said, I can't do that. He gave many reasons. And one of the reasons, he said, how can I do it? What is my connection? I'm connected to Prahlad. He said, I cannot take back my words. If it is Lord Vishnu, then he will lie down being defeated by me. And then he offered everything to Lord Narsingdev. Lord Vamandev. And Vamandev took away everything what he received with the mentality of Hiranyakashipu. Whatever wealth he had received, whatever opulence he had gained, Prabhupada writes in that purport, that wealth he had received from the Mahamaya potency. and that is not very good. So whatever he had received in that sense, with the attitude of Hiranyakashipu, has to be removed, has to go away. And the Lord will provide him another kind of wealth, which is coming from the real goddess of fortune. So you cannot have both the culture. That is the lesson in this Prahlada story, that reconcilement will be done by the Lord. It is not that Krishna is asking us to become pure devotees instantly. We are not. We have our shortcomings. But at least we should not make philosophy, change in philosophy. And how does Lord reconcile this? Very brilliant in the end of the three verses which Lord Narasimhadev spoke to Prahlad. He said that Bhogyana Punyam Kushalana Papam Kalevaram Kala Javena Hitva. He said, my dear Prahlad, that is the last shloka which he spoke and he went back. No, instructive shloka. He said, while living in this world, my dear Prahlad, previously spoke that, you know, you continue to hear my glories in the association of devotees. While doing that foundational principle, what you do? He said, enjoy your piety and exhaust it. If it is your quota, it has come by the grace of the Lord, you enjoy it in a way which does not create a reaction, but is exhausted. Bhogena punyam, kushalena papam. And sinful reaction, you know, you act nicely. Do not, basically when something happens in our life, a wrong thing, we have the choice to complicate it by reacting. Or to just feel, okay, this is part of my quota. In that way, you exhaust your impiety also. When you exhaust your piety and exhaust your impiety, what happens? Your body does not remain. Body is made not by these elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. That is superficial. Body is actually made because of piety and impiety. This body is nothing but combination of piety and impiety. And if that is not there, it is dissolved. And what do you have? You go back to the spiritual world and everybody will glorify you. This is how Lord Narasimhadev reconciled. Prahlad did not reconcile. Hiranyakashipu did not reconcile. He came and he destroyed Hiranyakashipu. And the Lord said, okay, this is how you live life in this world. And Prabhupada explains in the purport, this is the expert management of punya and papa. Don't try to make papa into punya. And it's okay. You know, a little papa is okay. It doesn't obstruct my spiritual life. No. It destroys our spiritual life. You live punya, you live papa, you exhaust them and destroy this body, and then you go back to the spiritual world. So on this auspicious occasion of Lord Narasimhadev's, we should pray for this only, that at no point of time I may compromise with the understanding of Krishna consciousness, because it's an uncompromising philosophy. It is uncompromising philosophy. And therefore Prabhupada presented in the mood of Prahlada also, uncompromising. But in his practical dealings, he was giving, you know, some practical solution. If you read his books, if you hear his lectures, it's very, very bitter. Very strong dose. You know, sometimes even devotees looks impractical to practice. But if you ask him and his followers, they help you to reconcile without compromising with philosophy. When we compromise, therefore when we present Krishna consciousness, especially to the modern people, there is no question of compromising, but accommodating. When that is done, then there is a chance for them. Otherwise, they will be in their trip of compromising everything. A bhi chalega, O bhi chalega. Everything is okay. As long as I chant Hare Krishna. How can you chant Hare Krishna? That becomes like a terroristic philosophy. As long as I believe in God, you simply declare. What do you declare? I believe in God. I accept Jesus. I accept Allah. And I accept Lord Chaitanya. When you declare like this, okay. And what you do? That's not important. Because you accepted, there is your savior. And that is the most dangerous philosophy you could ever have in this material world. And therefore, the sane and intelligent people, those who are pure in their habits, may not be devotees. They can't accept this philosophy. Anything is okay just because you declare that you are a devotee? No, how can I accept this? Just because you are a devotee, you can do anything and everything? Where is the standard? That doesn't mean, okay, because if I need to be a devotee, these are the standard, better I be materialistic. No, there is no scope being a materialistic. Because a materialistic life means, as Prahlad told his father in the very beginning, a life of anxiety, continual anxiety. Therefore, Narad Muni explained that Hiranyakashipu, even though he was ekarat, he was the emperor of this world, he was continuously in anxiety all the time. You show one person in this world who is not a devotee, but free from anxiety. Yes, the animals are there. You know, the statement is made, there is a saying that one could be very happy in this world, but utterly useless to the society. A pig is a very happy species, but what is the value of that life? You know, eating stool and becoming fat doesn't go to any psychiatrist, doesn't go to any doctor, no, doesn't go to any health dietitian. But that is not the kind of life one needs to lead. Because a human being cannot lead that kind of life, it is not possible. However, he tries to become animalistic, at the end of the day, Prabhupada explains, very brilliant purport, our Bankim Rai was showing me yesterday. He says, why does the living entity go into coma? He said he goes to coma because he comes to know at the time of his death that I've acted whimsically, I did not live according to what is expected of me. Now I'm going to become a dog. Now I'm going to become an animal. And he doesn't want to accept that form. Therefore he wants to hold back to this body. He is not wanting to quit that body because he's fearful. Because Paramatma is there, he's guiding within the heart. And therefore he goes into coma, being attached to this body because the future destination is a bad destination. And we see in the modern world, more and more such cases happen. More and more. Because ultimately as a human being, we cannot avoid the understanding which is given by the Lord within. Therefore, spiritual life means trying to minimize the connection with the external world. Because as much we are connected to external world, we can't hear the internal voice. As much as we remain with devotees, hear Harikatha, what does it do? It takes us internal. It takes us internal. It takes us internal. Self-analysis, self-examination. And in that self-examination, it creates a lot of guilt. Oh, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, I'm not supposed to do that. Therefore, all those who act very aggressive, extravagant, it is what? It is simply a show. Because internally, there is a guilt. Because they are a human being. That is Krishna's greatest mercy. That all human beings have to go through this. And Kali Yuga is especially three kinds of disease. Every third person will suffer from cancer. Every third person will suffer from AIDS. And every third person will suffer from mental disease. And what left? No. What left to see healthy life? And mental disease, you know, so increasing. You know, we request devotees. There is one family in America, we used to know myself and Gaurang Prabhu. Very nice family. And their son, unfortunately, you know, he willfully gave up his life. 19-year-old boy, studying medicine, only son of their parents, just threw away his life. Very, very sad. We knew him very well. And this is becoming quite common amongst non-devotees and even amongst devotees, the suicidal tendencies are increasing. Why? Because we are living in a conflicting world, a dangerous world. Therefore, unless we take seriously the Krishna consciousness aspect, we can't be happy and others also cannot be happy. So therefore, Prahlad, this teaching, I was trying to see from this perspective. Last 1 month, hearing so many news about cancer, this devotee is suffering from cancer, this devotee is suffering from cancer, that devotee is suffering. Within a month, I heard 6 news. And it is very painful and it is very burdensome. And at the same time, hear about this devotee, that person suffering mentally, this person suffering. And there is no material solution unless we transcend it. And how we transcend? By deeply understanding Krishna conscious philosophy and not compromising in regards to the philosophical understanding. And we often, again, I repeat and conclude, you know, we hear, especially from young, upcoming devotee children and also young people, chalta hai, you know, little here, little there, very casual. You know, as if everything is okay. Everything is not okay. It is not possible that everything can be okay. Only one thing can be okay. That is the foundation of our spiritual life. And that's what Prahlad is teaching. Whether Prahlad has to survive or Hiranyakashipu. And Prahlad will always survive. And Hiranyakashipu can never survive. Prahlad never prayed for immortality and he continued to see the life of Virochan, the life of Bali Maharaj and guiding them. And Hiranyakashipu was not there. He was driven away from this world. Therefore, on this day, we can offer our prayers to Lord Narsingdev and Prahlad Maharaj that to remove the tendencies of Hiranyakashipu and be engaged in the service of the Lord, which is very clear and very, very uncompromising path. And whatever we know in the mood of Prahlad and his representative, like Srila Prabhupada and his associates, you know, live a life of selflessness. Because in selflessness only there is some kind of pleasure. It is painful, but only in that there is some pleasure. Otherwise, we also become, you know, I generation people. Myself, only talking about. Krishna consciousness is opposite to I consciousness. And Krishna consciousness will not grow as long as one is worried about oneself. Talking about only oneself, oneself, oneself. No, this is my problem, this is my problem, this is what happened to me. They have the power to explain, you know, the past history of 25 years back, the present history of their troubles and the future, what will happen. What can you help to such people? By hearing them, simply hearing, and they don't accept the solution of Krishna consciousness, what they are doing? They're also dragging us. So hearing problems and they don't accepting solution is that you become part of their problem also. Like the psychiatrist. Now, some of the biggest problem is that the psychiatrist become psychiatrists themselves. Because whole day, what do? Because they get money. 1200, 1400, 1500 rupees, they keep hearing. And what is their solution? Very superficial. They don't have a real solution. Unless they are devotees, they have the spiritual understanding. Only they can help. Otherwise, living with diseased people and not transcending the disease will also make us diseased. And Prahlad Maharaj is the best example. He was living, he came from the diseased condition of life. Hiranyakashipu. Lived in the diseased world. But had some connection to Narad Muni. And what a character. Therefore, we can study Prahlad from an absorbing point and observing point. No, observing this material world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Lord Narsingdev ki, Bhaktaraj Prahlad Maharaj ki, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.